Well, I mean, it's kind of, my first impression is it's kind of backwards looking. I mean, we're talking about Slater Mill, something the state did like hundreds of years ago. Seems like they might have gone through and tried to pick something that felt very Rhode Island to try to make it feel like a public project rather than a bit of crony capitalism going on.
Yes. So that doesn't grab you. You would prefer maybe the McCoy Stadium?
Well, give it a name, something like that would be good. Or pick somebody famous or worth honoring or something. Ballpark at Slater Mill sounds, it just doesn't sound like it. I don't find it catchy.
Slater Mill. Meet me at the Mill. Does it become, the Paw Sox are at home tonight at the Mill? It sounds very everyman kind of working class, don't you think? No? The ballpark at Slater Mill.
So the Paw Sox are home tonight at the Mill. Yeah, I could see the Mill.
I think there's a playoff on that. I think on the historic thing. But you're right. I think it is to try to then play into, try to get the whole area of Blackstone Valley behind them.
Yeah, maybe it's, as I think about it, maybe there is a lot to play with there. Like Slater Stadium sounds kind of tough.
Sounds a little like Schaefer Stadium with the Patriots.
I think the ballpark at Slater Mill.
The ballpark at Slater Mill. All right, Justin, let's start off. Yesterday, that was a unique press conference. The city council president in Providence, Louis Aponte, Providence city council president, refuses to resign, even has a defiant press conference where he announces, how about they even had t-shirts made, they're both in English and Spanish, now they're blaming it on Southside Johnny. It's a Southside thing, as if we're the only ones that understand this whole thing. What do you make of Council President Aponte refusing, despite last week he was in court in red handcuffs, refusing to step down as the president of the Providence City Council?
Yeah, these politicians in Rhode Island, they take things to like an absurd level. I mean, at some point there's some arguability. Okay, he was indicted. Does that mean he must step down? But when your whole council essentially has voted and said step down as president, and you still are defiantly saying no, it's kind of it's like we should change the state motto to bluster instead of in hope. I mean, it's of course a unanimous vote of your city council should cause you to give up your presidency, at least until the whole thing's resolved. And it just it creates this sense, I think, of makes people suspicious that there's something that they gain by being in this position, or something that they're hiding, and that they have to stay there to keep hiding. I mean, it's just I can't come up with a good reason for it. I mean, he's said, I guess, that he thinks it'll look like he's admitting guilt if he steps down. But really, pal, your counsel just gave you cover for that by voting to ask you to step down. So I think the judge is going to take into consideration, or the jury, and say, well, they did ask him to step down. So that's clearly he wasn't admitting guilt with that. It's just kind of a strange hill to die on, I guess.
You know what, though, Justin? They don't have, and it's the same thing with Kevin Jackson. I mean, as much as you could say, all right, so they're not attorneys, at least, and they are community people. But to me, part of it is they have nothing to fall back on, and so therefore they have nothing to lose to just stay in the game. I mean, Kevin Jackson, if you believe the accusations against him, he supplemented his income by taking money from, the track team, the Cobras, and now Louis Aponte, I've been saying for years that it's tough to pin this guy down on exactly what he does for a living, as far as what exactly his income was derived from, because you can't live off whatever they make, $20,000 off of the city council. So it's kind of like they're just floating around looking for anything, like they have nothing to go to. But I can't believe that some of his constituents trying to, spin this as it's a Southside thing. It's a Washington Park, South Providence thing, where it's perfectly acceptable for someone to remain in office even though they've been charged with a felony.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. I know from, just experience locally, it's hard to get people to even want to run for office, let alone be, the president of a council, because it's work. And if you're in it for public service, you'd almost go, okay, yeah, thanks, I'll take a break from being president. That'll be a relief. So it is kind of inexplicable what they get out of it. I would say, though, you mentioned Councilman Jackson.
Yes.
One thing that is kind of in Aponte's defense until he took it to this level, is this is the first kind of that I can think of high profile prosecution or indictment of a local politician that's entirely at this point about campaign finance law. I mean,
right.
As you said with Jackson, there was some stuff where looked like he was taking stuff from a nonprofit. Previous politicians, Fox or what have you, there was some evidence there was actual bribery going on, and that was kind of what campaign finance laws were set up to be, you know, so we can catch them taking bribes. But this is just the guy took money out of his campaign finance report account, it appears, and that's the crime. I think we do want to at least not in a direction of being cautious here, because you can, I mean, $14,000 is a lot of money for that to do that with, but you could picture just any elected official at a town or city level kind of being hard on their luck for a month and borrowing some money from their campaign accounts. And I think we want to be cautious about really elevating that. The Providence Journal had a big front page. Is this crime town?
Yes.
But that makes you, and hey, maybe that's a good name for a stadium, but if you compare that, if we're starting to compare, you know, borrowing or even spending money out of your campaign account with outright mafia activity or using a city government as a bribery scheme. I mean, that's we're starting to cross a line there, and that's the one thing I'll say in Aponte's favor. Now, if he would show some rationality and step down at the request of his counsel, he might be able to play on that reasonable perspective a little bit more.
Justin, what is your take on now? Governor Raimondo met with the media early this morning. It was kind of like an off the record, on the record. They've been trying to have, you know, in some ways, I almost wish the media would not play along with this, because this is kind of a way around a press conference. I mean, obviously, you know, anyone that's watched, Sean Spicer would rather have an off the record breakfast with a lot of these reporters. It just doesn't play out that way. But it's a way for the Raimondo people, who are always thinking about trying to, you know, manipulate the media, manipulate their story. Hey, we're just here. We're relaxing. We're having this kind of off the record embargo now, is what they're saying. You can't tweet while we're doing it, but then you can report in the story later. I just have this problem with the Raimondo people, for no reason, continue to kind of dictate to the local media of, like, how they're going to be covered, here's what it should say, and they just kind of follow along. But anyhow, earlier this morning, the governor did say she's now willing to scale back her free tuition plan. It is amazing to me, Justin, that even though the state is $100 million in the hole, this thing has not been vetted. It's highly controversial in New York now. As far as even Mattiello said, there should be some criteria for it. She will not let go of this plan because you know that there is, you know, her profile at stake. I think the governor holding on, in my opinion, I want to find out yours, the Governor Raimondo holding on to this free tuition plan, it is just an absolute self-serving, selfish agenda item. It does not fit Rhode Island. We can't afford it, and she still refuses to give up on the whole concept.
You know, the perspective of people in government is just amazing. I mean, it seems like what this comes down to for me is it seems like all the basics, say roads and bridges, DMV stuff,
yes.
even providing welfare, you know, having the computer systems work, school buildings that aren't collapsing. These are the basics of government, and that always seems to be a promise. Like, okay, yeah, we're going to get to that, and we're going to work on it. And this other stuff is always the priority. So, yeah, we're going to scale back our giveaway of college tuition, but we're definitely going to do it. Now, we never hear, we're definitely going to get to fixing the roads this year.
Right.
This is my priorities, fixing the roads, fixing the schools. It's kind of like if you have a boss who never lets you get to your big project because there's always something flashy they want you to work on that day.
Sure.
In the long term, we have to get to asking questions, and I wish the journalists would, maybe they do, it's, you know, closed private meetings, but I wish the journalists would ask, always, just repeatedly bring it back to that, you know, like they do when they're peppering Republicans on a national level with
right.
some scandal they want to promote, you know, so every time the governor says, well, we can scale back tuition, well, what about the roads and bridges, or what about the schools, what about the DMV and the
yep.
welfare, I mean, that really is where they need to be, just peppered with questions constantly.
And where she also got a free pass, and again, folks, we're speaking with Justin Katz, where I think she was given a total free pass is I don't think that the local media highlights enough that, yes, Tennessee, the governor of Tennessee, they do have a program where they offer it, but it's for vocational school. You know, Justin, if in Rhode Island, if Rhode Island College was more akin to New England Tech, I would be completely in favor of that. I could even see some element of CCRI where there's skills involved in teaching someone a trade. You need laborers. And based on, you know, the workforce that we have, the educational background, it would be make complete sense that we're going to take some of these people and we're going to put them in vocational school like a New England Tech or something like that and teach them a trade. And then at least, listen, you know, those are good, high-paying blue-collar jobs, but you know, we need them here in Rhode Island. But instead, the state is not equipped that way. So the governor continues with, she just refuses to give up on this idea. Now, Speaker Mattiello sent out a questionnaire, and he started to question his constituents about, you know, should it apply to everyone? Should there be more of a criteria for it? What do you make of Mattiello sending out, I haven't heard of him doing this before, I haven't heard of any speaker doing this before, sending out this kind of questionnaire to his constituents in Cranston, how do you feel about, you know, paid sick time for all these workers in private companies? How do you feel about illegals getting a driver's license? What do you think about the car tax? Do you think Mattiello legitimately wants to stay in touch with his people, or he's using it for cover? So when he wants to tell the governor no, he can say, hey, I'm hearing directly from my constituents, this is not something that they want.
Well, I'm sure that's part of it. I'm sure he's also asking questions with a good sense of what the overall answer is going to be. But I would say, thinking back to Aponte in Providence, one of the problems is that we don't have political competition in Rhode Island.
No.
So these elected officials can sit on their accounts until they grow to be large sizable amounts, and they don't have to spend it on what they're supposed to spend it on. So it's just sitting there for them to borrow. And I think this is a good example of that. Stephen Frias gave Nicholas Mattiello a run for his money. And so he's using, I assume this is campaign money. I don't think I've seen that reported, but he's using his resources to do what you would kind of want your elected officials to do. He's saying, what do you want me to do? Now, he should just release the answers and not sit on it and use it for political purposes. But
right.
And in some ways, you know, it's almost like a refreshing taste of what might be like a good government fantasy. I mean, imagine if every representative and senator in the state were using their campaign money to survey their constituents.
Yes.
And say, what do you want me to do? And then
right.
Imagine if they published it, and then they don't have to do everything on a list, but at least they would have to explain to people, here's why I went with the leader, the House Speaker, on this bill, even though you asked me to go against it. I mean, at least they would have to explain that, and it would be a transparent, open way to discuss it. The real problem here, I think, is that essentially what it means is that these 10,000 Cranston residents are in some way setting the agenda for the whole state.
Good point. Excellent.
I mean, if the people in Cranston want, say, job killing sick time laws that destroy businesses or legalize marijuana or whatever the issue might be.
Yep.
If those people in Cranston want it, does that mean the rest of the state has to have that law? That's the issue. And I just kind of wish others would pick up this
element
practice of asking,
right. You know what
this element of what do you want me to do? And the way we would do that is by forcing them to know that they could be out of office if they don't use their resources in a way that lets them represent the people. That's
sure.
How it's all supposed to work.
I also found it interesting, Justin, that when Governor Raimondo was told last week about the $100 million shortfall and whether or not they had a fallback plan, because it was her budget where it's the $100 million shortfall, they basically punted and said, no, and I guess we're just going to have to leave it up to the speaker to see what they come up with. Now, that is not, as we both know, in the private sector, that would certainly not be acceptable. I mean, it's like, what's plan B, what's plan C? Can you imagine a Coach Belichick saying, all right, well, that's not going to work, so what's your fallback plan for offense against the Bills or defense against the Dolphins? And the coach saying, no, that's all we had. You have to have something. But what I'd like to know what you think. Last night, Republican Bobby Nardalillo of Coventry did formally announce he, right now, solo, but he will challenge Senator Sheldon Whitehouse for that U.S. Senate seat. That the election will be November of 18. If there's a primary, and Bob Flanders' name still has been floated, that he's looking at it, that primary would take place next September. What do you think of the Nottolillo rollout?
Well, he is getting started early, so there's a lot of time for him to build up. I have to say, I'm hoping he's got to make, one thing that strikes you when you read or listen to his press conference, he's got to make the case that he's, first of all, got some handle on national issues. Like, why are you, it's great that you know the local boy from Coventry wants to go to Washington,
yeah.
but why are you, not, I don't want to say qualified, but particularly well-suited to make that trip to Washington and represent the state, even as opposed to the Congress and the House on the House side in Washington, or trying to step up to the Senate in Rhode Island. And I think he's also got to show some political juice and actually get something accomplished in the General Assembly. The biggest concern I have is that I'm not confident in what I would call his political philosophy.
Yes.
He in the Providence Journal story about his announcement, everything is this but that. So I'm conservative, but not far right. Well, yep. What does that mean? I oppose Obamacare, but I wouldn't have supported a repeal because it's not going to actually, because repealing it would actually take stuff away. Stuff like that. One of mine as a social conservative that really struck me was, I'm pro-life, but I don't push my belief on others, which, all right, so you believe abortion kills a baby, but that's okay. I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that I think he needs to work out, and that would happen over time if he stayed in office and learned the political ropes a little better. So as I say, he's getting started early, so there's still time for him to develop that kind of stuff.
There is. He hasn't, let's face it, listen, he's 37. He's had two terms. He hasn't accomplished a lot. They're certainly banking a lot on the name. The father had run against Senator Reid. But I completely, and again, I like that there's going to be competition. Senator Whitehouse, I think with the right candidate, is beatable. I think many people in Rhode Island, Justin, don't feel that we are represented because we're just the resistance party. We have four Democrats in Washington. The Republicans control Washington. Trump's in the White House. But my problem with Nottolillo is I think, and again, last night was just the announcement. We'll see how, if he transforms. But to just come out and kind of like be on board with the Trump bandwagon, with the White House that is, and meaning the White House, not Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, who's completely under attack, I come back to the most successful Republican right now in New England is, to me, is Governor Charlie Baker of Massachusetts. And he did not endorse President Trump. He does his own thing. He's cognizant of where he is in the country. He is Republican leanings, but there is, you do have Susan Collins of Maine, but I think if the danger is if you just lump yourself like I'm on board with everything Donald Trump is doing, I think you just make it too easy for Senator Sheldon Whitehouse.
Maybe. I would draw the distinction. Charlie Baker obviously is running a state, so it's not necessarily his role to agree or disagree with the president.
No, I understand.
In general,
true.
But I think from Nardolillo's perspective as a sort of outside candidate and an underdog, especially early on, I think he needs to kind of say I'm going to push back against the resistance, and that does, you don't necessarily have to embrace President Trump in every regard, but there's plenty of room to play off of what kind of this lunacy that we're seeing from the left and the Democrat Party. And I think of Senator Whitehouse was in South Providence the other day at a constituent meeting, and somebody asked him, how long do you think we're going to have to wait for an impeachment of President Trump? Mm-hmm. And I was actually, even watching this as closely as I do, I was actually surprised at how callous the senator was. There wasn't, you would expect him, before November 2016, any politician would have said something like, well, look, we have to wait, see what the evidence comes out as. We
right.
can't jump on it calling for an impeachment is really, really bad for a country
right.
and it'll divide us, and we don't want that. So hopefully
yes.
it turns out to be nothing. I mean, even if you're lying, you have to say, hopefully it turns out to be nothing. So he's got a really far left senator. So I think at this
instead,
stage,
tell the listeners what he said, what his response was.
Oh, it was essentially, yeah, I mean, he was essentially furthering this impression that, yeah, it's going to come. We've
right.
got, he's being investigated, the White House is being investigated by all these different organizations, and so
right.
what we're going to see, as if it's a sure
like
thing,
it's
we're
a matter
start
of time,
them,
like the countdown
yeah.
clock on CNN. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And once you start seeing, and it was almost biblical in some ways, mm. Once you start seeing flames in cities, that kind of thing, once you start seeing his underlings being indicted, that's a sign. Well, no, that could be a sign that it was only his underlings who did anything questionable.
That's right.
You know, but he was saying, no, that's the sign that we're getting there. And that it was really, really unsettling to me to see that that's where our politics have gotten. So yeah. I would think for a candidate like Narlillo, you know, stepping up and saying, I'm going to be a responsible, I'm not going to do everything President Trump wants to do, but I'm going to put an end to this unnecessary vitriol in the Senate, and I'll you know, be a voice for that's at least on the president's party for Rhode Island.
Folks, he is the managing editor for Ocean State Current. He's Justin Katz. Justin, great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again.
Likewise. Have a great one.
All right, folks, it's John DePietro. We're going to come back. A lot more, plus we'll take your phone calls, 846-1028, 846-1028. Now, the Paw Sox, I mentioned, they are going to be holding a press conference where the Associated Press is reporting that the new name is going to be the ballpark at Slater Mills. So we'll talk about that. We'll touch on a number of different things. Again, you can always email me. It's john@depietro.com. john@depietro.com. Well, finally, it looks like the weather has broken. And it's supposed to be 90 degrees on Thursday. So the hazy, hot, humid days closer than you think. Let JKL Engineering design and install a Carrier Infinity system for your home or business today. These Carrier systems have the highest rebates on the market. They're quiet, energy efficient. You could save over 50% on your energy bills just by having JKL replace that old clunker. JKL Engineering. They also specialize in complete commercial rooftop systems from design to the ductwork, installation, and service. Replacements of these units can be done in a matter of hours, as well as the ductless split systems. Call JKL today for a free estimate. Wherever you can hear my voice, listen, you want to be nice and comfortable, call JKL Engineering, 351-7600, 351-7600. You should be nice and comfortable in your own home. Call JKL Engineering. Let them design and install a Carrier Infinity system for your home or business. You'll enjoy it. How about year-round? The temperature is 68 or 70 degrees in your house, whatever you want it to be. Call JKL right now. Wherever you can hear my voice, call JKL Engineering for a free estimate. And then when they say the forecast calls for hazy, hot, humid days, you're not worried about it. JKL, they're the best. Call them for a free estimate today. 351-7600. 351-7600 or online at jklengineering.com. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. 846-1028.
A single event, loss of a loved one, a job, or a serious health issue can create a catastrophic atmosphere for people over 55. Every third Friday from 12 to 1 p.m., experts from the health, finance, and legal worlds converge on AM 1540 WADK's Elder Affairs program.
Presented by Blenheim Newport, Mobility Equipment Recyclers, the Rhode Island Department of Health, and the Own Your Health Collaborative, and the law firm of Silva, Thomas, Martland, and Offenberg, Christina Offenberg, Elder Law.
Hey, let me ask you something. Would you seat your 3-year-old child on a windowsill? Would you seat them beside a lit fireplace or by the deep end of a pool? One last question. Would you seat your child in a car seat that's not correct for them? Car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. Secure their future. Seat them in the correct car seat. For more information, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
From ABC News Tech Trends, Amazon's out with a new Alexa-powered device.
And now, introducing the newest member of the family, Amazon Echo Show.
Hi there.
In a video posted online, Amazon shows off exactly what sets the Echo Show device apart from its siblings, including a 7-inch touchscreen and a bevy of new features, like the ability to make and receive calls.
Gina would like to talk.
Alexa, accept the call.
The Echo Show also allows you to connect to the internet to get song lyrics, look things up, or watch streaming videos.
Just ask to watch Amazon Video, YouTube, movie trailers, and more.
Alexa, play number 3.
Okay.
It's also compatible with the Internet of Things.
Here is the nursery.
Control lights, adjust thermostats, view camera feeds, and more with just your voice.
The Echo Show retails for $230. It starts shipping June 28th. With Tech Trends, I'm Mona Rivera, ABC News.
Well, folks, this time of year, this is when people start to invest in their home.
Where you live, the New England home.
That's right.
Give it a look, that's all it's own.
The leader.
Garage headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
All right, I admit, I do. I profile garage doors as I ride around. How are your garage doors? You know, the best investment you can make in your home that'll increase the value of your home are brand new doors from Garage Headquarters. Go online, garageheadquarters.com, and when they have the Door View software imaging tool, no guesswork, it's easy, it's fun, and you can see what your home would look like with different doors. Call them today, 877-62-GARAGE. Hey, call by noon for service today, or it's free and backed by the best door price guarantee.
Garage Headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
You can't buy a better door for a better price. Go with the award-winning number one nationally recognized performance by Overhead Door Corporation. And it's simple. This is about more doors, more selection, best door price value, and when you've been in business longer, well, you have better technicians, more warehouses, more trucks on the road, any other company in Rhode Island and southeastern Mass. When you want a door that matches the architecture of your home, go with the leader. Don't deal with the big box stores. They're overpriced. They use subcontractors. Call the certified professionals now. Team Grace since 1973.
Garage Headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
He tells it like it is. He's John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
All right, and we're back on this Tuesday. Good afternoon, one and all. It's Juan. This is John DePietro. This is the John DePietro program with you each afternoon. Here I am, 1 to 5, right here, AM 1540, and it's WADK. Where you can call in, 846-1028. Ballpark at Slater Mill. Tonight I'm going to see the Paw Sox play at the ballpark at Slater Mill. Someone sent me an email. Slater Park. Well, there is a Slater Park, actually. Isn't there a Slater Park? The ballpark at Slater Mill. How does that grab you? No more McCoy Stadium. The ballpark at Slater Mill. Now, have to think they tested this. And I don't mean the same people that did the whole cool and warmer thing. I mean real people that tested it. What do you think of that name? That's what the Paw Sox right now are throwing out. Working title. They like the Apex site. It'd be no more McCoy Stadium. It would be the Paw Sox play at the ballpark at Slater Mill. Definitely comes off historic. Slater Mill. Have I ever been to Slater Mill? Were we forced to go there when I was at St. Paul's on a field trip? For some reason, I think we did. I love how they actually think tourists would come in from out of town to tour some of the things in Blackstone Valley. The ballpark at Slater Mill. Sounds like a contest we could have instead of that. What about the ballpark at Brian Serrault? Now, that would be Pawtucket. That would definitely be more along the Pawtucket lines. Remember, that's the way things were done in Pawtucket. Right now, we are learning that the Paw Sox, I think right now, as we speak, as a matter of fact, they are holding a press conference. And the new owners, Governor Raimondo, we're going to find out exactly how much that she wants to put the state on the hook for. She threw out $35 million. And so it's got to be, right, at least $35 million. I'm seeing already some comments on Twitter. Do they really think Rhode Islanders are stupid enough to fall for the revenue-neutral trick? Let's see. Let me find, no sign of top state officials. Crowd starting to assemble for Paw Sox presser. All right, so it hasn't started yet. But they have It must be at Slater Mill, right? Because then that's, I can see it in the background on Twitter. Okay. Oh, Larry Lucchino with Mike Sabatoni. What does that tell you? Gee, I wonder if the laborers are going to be building it. Well, it's the Sun, Sabatoni. So, crowd starting to assemble. The park will pay for itself with all costs generated by the team and its visitors. So they have apparently even a video out now that talks about the new ballpark and that it's going to be all things positive about Rhode Island. Pawtucket is home, and they're showing Jim Rice, Carlton Fisk, Fred Lynn, all former Poor Sox players. And now they're showing some video. I'm seeing video of them, the Poor Sox at McCoy. So they have the rendition. It'll be the Apex site. It does look like a beautiful stadium. Apparently they have it right off of 95, which that part I do agree with. It's definitely going to put some crowns in the sky. Well, with Quina, maybe it will be crowns in the sky. And they also plan on having a hotel. The park will pay for itself. Think of that. So, let's see. Let me just see some other quotes that are on Twitter right now. And I guess we'll have to find out more. It is not officially started yet as far as the Paw Sox. So, but it looks like the ballpark at Slater Mill is going to be the working title. And this time the fact that they have the, let me just see if there's anything on the Paw Sox site. No, not so much. Pawtucket is home. That is their new. Now, they did plan initially to jump to Providence, but now Pawtucket is home. Pawtucket will remain home. Paw Sox promise new stadium will pay for itself, all costs covered by revenues generated by the team and our visitors. No Rhode Island tax hike. So, Pawtucket 2020 vision, including ballpark updates, Slater Mill, that's where they're having the press conference. Mayor Grabian, 2020 vision, co-chairs an event, update on the ballpark for downtown Pawtucket. So, well, the mayor of Pawtucket, he's got to be happy about that, that at least it would be. This means zero tax increase for Rhode Islanders. So they're trying to send out the whole neutral. Paw Sox set to spend $45 million on a $73 million ballpark. Tax and other revenue will boost for rest, team says, 30-year bond. So the ballpark will cost around $73 million. They will spend $45 million, and then the state of Rhode Island will kick in $30 million. So they are really pushing the ballpark at Slater Mill. Pawtucket is home, it says on the front of the shirt, and then on the back they have the ballpark at Slater Mill. Let me think what else. So they're going to have it outside at Slater Mill. Well, at least it seemingly is coming to some resolution here. It's going to move forward. They are going to try to get this done in this. Well, it sounds like they have a done deal, actually. People are wondering how much it's going to cost the taxpayers. So Pawtucket is home, the ballpark at Slater Mill. Those are the shirts that they're going with. That will be the theme, that it will remain, the team will remain in Pawtucket, and it looks like ballpark at Slater Mill, Paw Sox confirm. So that will be the new name. So it looks like Rhode Island kicks in $35 million, and then the team will put up $40 million. That's the way they're breaking it out right now. And then we'll have to wait and see. Now, keep in mind, this all then falls into, you know, the I know a guy and what's in it for me and exactly how that is going to play out. Now, they're going to apparently do a bond. They'll have more. I want to wait and see how this comes out. I think, listen, like many of you, and again, folks, you can call in 846-1028. There will be people that will say, not a dime, not a penny. We should not be giving them anything. They should not be getting anything. One of the things to watch out for is those that are just then going to try to cash in on it. And it's what we call, you know, the whole I know a guy thing attitude, where people then want to try to, and exactly who, what's in it for Mattiello? Is he on board with this? Is he going to sign off on it? Has he had some kind of meetings where he is going along with this, or is he still just on the sidelines saying that, you know, they haven't contacted him, he doesn't know that much about it? He is the person to watch in this whole equation is going to be Speaker Mattiello. And even Raimondo had said that with her budget, $100 million shortfall, Governor Raimondo said, well, we'll just have to kick it and see what Mattiello does with the budget.
Well, you have to commit to making the changes. So we do have challenges ahead, but we're going to continue to have challenges ahead unless there's a change.
Yeah, whatever that means. I mean, the biggest nonsensical or non-answer ever. So we're going to have changes unless there's no change, and then once we have changes, then we'll announce what the changes are going to be. Well, folks, it's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. We'll take your phone calls, 846-1028, 846-1028. Now, the sun is finally out, but they are saying that this could end up being the worst tick and mosquito season ever. That's why on this Tuesday, you need to call American Deer Proofing today at 792-8900 for a free quote. 792-8900, American Deer Proofing. Tick and mosquito spray service, long lasting up to 4 weeks, 8 active eco-friendly ingredients, comprehensive spray program targets ticks, mosquitoes in your lawn, anywhere a mosquito likes to hide, and it won't harm your bushes. American Deer Proofing. Call them today for a free quote for your business or your home, for your property. Call them at 792-8900 for a free quote. They will help protect your family today from diseases such as Lyme and Zika, just to name a few. And it's safe around children and pets. They offer 6 applications once a month. Spray the bushes without harming your plants. Protect your family and pets today. You don't want to get Lyme disease. People that get Lyme disease, from what I understand, it always stays in you. You never get over it. And the same thing. How about the mosquitoes are becoming deadly? They're saying this is going to be the worst tick and mosquito season ever. That's why you need to call American Deer Proofing. For over 15 years, they have been developing eco-friendly repellent solutions. The formulas are safe to use around children and pets, and it's guaranteed to work. Call American Deer Proofing right now. Get a free quote, tick and mosquito spray service. Call 792-8900, 792-8900 for a free quote. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. You can email me, john@depietro.com. We'll come back, take more of your phone calls, 846-1028.
Hi, this is Art Brody, hoping you'll join me Sunday mornings at 7 for Art & Company. Each week we'll feature a special guest to fill you in on everything from programs and services available to area seniors, to what's going on in the Newport Faith community, to fun things to do at Newport's Ballard Park. Don't miss an action-packed minute. Join us for Art & Company, Sunday mornings at 7 on AM 1540 WADK.
Finding great candidates to hire can be, well, like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is different. It doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. With its powerful technology, ZipRecruiter distributes your job everywhere it needs to be to find the right candidates. In fact, over 80% of jobs on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just one day. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, only ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
Used by businesses of all sizes, ZipRecruiter offers the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer for your free trial. ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer.
Dan's Place is your place for great food and a family-friendly atmosphere. How many people say, meet me at Dan's Place? A lot. It's Dan's Place, located West Greenwich, 880 Victory Highway in West Greenwich, just north of exit 5A on Route 95. It's Dan's Place, your place for great food, family-friendly atmosphere, and there's always something happening at Dan's Place. Now, last night, of course, Monday nights means trivia, followed by karaoke at 9:30. Tomorrow, don't miss Wine Down Wednesdays. Half-price bottles of wine all day at Dan's Place. Thursdays, Mexican Day. Juan loves Dan's Place on Thursdays. Mexican Day with all your favorites. Dan's Place, 880 Victory Highway, West Greenwich, just north of exit 5A on Route 95. As soon as you get off, you can see Dan's Place is right there. Follow the crowd. You're going to love the wings, delicious burgers, family friendly. I'll see you at Dan's Place in West Greenwich.
The most entertaining show on your radio, John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
All right, and we're back on this Tuesday. Good afternoon, one and all. It's Juan. Here I am. Yes, it's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. Ballpark at Slater Mill. Come Saturday night game. This is some of the email. Receive a free Samuel Slater bobblehead. Pawtucket is home. Suddenly, Pawtucket is home. They're going to be having a press conference. Pawtucket is home, the ballpark at Slater Mill. This is take two, and the way the math breaks out, it looks like the state will pony up $35 million, and the Paw Sox, from what I understand, will put up $40 million. For a $73 million, right? Is that 35, 40? Right around there, $75 million, somewhere in there, ballpark. And the key, folks, is Michael Sabatoni right at the press conference with Larry Lucchino. Gee, I wonder if the laborers, I wonder if this is going to be a public labor agreement. You're damn right it is. Well, we knew that when Ruggiero was right on board with it. But he's also very, very tight. He is the laborers. He's the laborers. They, if anything's going to get built, they want their piece of it. And so it certainly looks, they're obviously on board. They're going to say it's going to be jobs. It's a different site. It's right off the highway. They're going to have a hotel there, various different things. And now we'll see what this is going to look like once it starts to make its way. They want to make this happen. And what it's going to look like once it starts to make its way through Mattiello and Company, where do you think they're saying, is this good economic development? Do you think they're saying, you know, well, let's get the latest on whether or not this is good? No, all they care about is what's in this for me. That is the big question they're asking. Now, folks, there's also news on this Tuesday in, regarding President Trump and the classified intel reports. Let's get a quick update from ABC's Mark Remillard.
President Trump commenting on yesterday's report that he shared highly classified information with Russian officials during a meeting with them at the White House last week.
We had a very, very successful meeting with the foreign minister of Russia. Our fight is against ISIS. As General McMaster said, I thought he said, and I know he feels, that we had actually a great meeting.
The president has defended his right to share information. On Twitter, he wrote he shared facts pertaining to terrorism and airline safety. The concern, however, is that information could have put a key ISIS spy in danger. ABC senior White House correspondent Cecilia Vega.
The Washington Post says this happened during last week's Oval Office meeting with the Russians. They say the president was boasting about intelligence that is so highly classified it wasn't even shared with allies. The classified information was reportedly given to the U.S. by a partner in the fight against ISIS.
National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster did not answer up or down whether the president revealed state secrets. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Now, McMaster did speak earlier, and he said that there was nothing inappropriate with the information that the president shared. This is ABC's Jonathan Carl.
They are denying here at the White House that the president did anything inappropriate, but they are not denying that he shared classified information with the Russians. We didn't hear it from General McMaster. We have not heard it from other senior officials that I have spoken to.
You know, according to McMaster, who spoke earlier, who I have a lot of respect for and is obviously brilliant, and I think many of you respect him as well, he was saying they were having a general conversation and that President Trump didn't even know the source of what they were talking about. And they were talking about ISIS and that he didn't say anything that couldn't be said in a situation like that. So he said, and I'll replay it right now, he said that in the course of the context of the conversation, It was completely appropriate what the president said, which, by the way, is obviously the opposite of what they're saying on CNN and MSNBC and also with the Washington Post.
What the president discussed with the foreign minister was wholly appropriate to that conversation and is consistent with the routine sharing of information between the president and any leaders with whom he's engaged. And
the U.S. received from an intelligence partner?
I'm not going to be the one to confirm that sort of information that could jeopardize our security.
Now, that he is the national security advisor. I think, you know, he brings tremendous credibility. I have a lot of respect for him. The military people are all on board. There's obviously a problem with leaks at the White House. I think we can all agree on that. And there are obviously people that want to see this president fail. And the reports coming out of the media continue like this. I'm afraid to even play this piece of ABC Cecilia Vega describing West Wing chaos.
This is a West Wing that is in chaos right now. This story falls on the heels of that botched firing of FBI Director James Comey. They are really struggling how to figure out how to get a hold of his messages on what should be a really big week. This huge foreign trip coming up for this White House, totally overshadowed right now by these two big controversies.
They're under complete attack. We'll take more of your phone calls on it. Good afternoon. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. Here I am. AM 1540 WADK, whether it is through Facebook or through the website, so many, every single day more people are discovering. That's right. Here's the independent man, right side of the dial. Here I am, AM 1540 WADK. You can also listen online at WADK.com, or if you have a smartphone, you can also listen with the apps. It is the Simple Radio app, that's free, and the TuneIn Radio app. Different ways to find out, just go to DePietro.com, DePETRO.com, the official website of you-know-who. Folks, this weather, boy, top of the Bay, this is their season. Have you visited Top of the Bay yet? Top of the Bay Restaurant, historic Oakland Beach in Warwick. It's one of those places. What a view at Top of the Bay Restaurant. Whether it's lunch or dinner or very soon, they'll be opening up the up-top deck where they have live entertainment. Enjoy a nice drink. It's Top of the Bay Restaurant where you can get delicious fish and chips or baked scrod. I love their hot clam cakes and chowder. Top of the Bay Restaurant, whether it's fresh seafood or delicious chicken dishes or authentic pasta, delicious salads, great desserts, and you can't beat the view. They have a children's menu. People of all ages love Top of the Bay Restaurant. You can call Top of the Bay, 921-3663. What a view. Right down the view of the bay. It's Top of the Bay Restaurant. Call Eli, 921-3663, or online, topofthebayrestaurant.com. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. We'll come back. More of your phone calls, 846-1028.
So you're ready to sell your home. Before you put a listing sign on your front lawn, make sure your home doesn't have any of these big flaws that could prevent yours from selling. Things like a leaky roof, old appliances, damaged gutters, even creaky windows and doors, all can spell trouble. Then there are those things that you can't see easily. Problems like termites, radon, and a cracked foundation can all cause your home to be sucked into housing limbo.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony Tantillo, and I am your fresh grocer. And today's tip of the day is going to be with Trevisano. Now, Trevisano is a cross between Belgium endive and radicchio. It's got the shape of Belgium endive, but yet it's got the texture and the color of radicchio. They've been around for a while in Europe, but now this product, this produce item, the Trevisano, is becoming more and more popular every year here in the States. A lot of chefs are using them because of the flavor. When you select them, you want to make sure that the dark purple, light purple, the red, the white, the colors are all beautifully blended together. When you bring them home, store them simply in the refrigerator right away. The shelf life is very short, 2 to 3 days at the very most. And I'm Tony Tantillo, your fresh grocer, and always remember to eat fresh and stay healthy.
Star Mortgage is our friend Steve Tester. Good afternoon, Steve.
Hey, John, how are you
today? Hey, very good news with Steve Tester and Homestar Mortgages and anyone that's in the market right now for a mortgage.
Absolutely. Friday afternoon, we had a great announcement from Rhode Island Housing, the state housing agency, and there is a brand new $7,500 grant that is available for first-time home buyers for down payment assistance.
Now, break that out for people, Steve, exactly how that is going to affect people, that right now, whether you're buying a new home or refinancing, how that's going to impact people as far as a mortgage.
Well, it's a great opportunity. For anybody that has signed a purchase and sale agreement after May 12th, so if you're already in the process, you're not eligible to apply for this grant program. This is basically starting with this past weekend. The way the grant works is it is for first-time home buyers. There is an income limit, so if your family size is 1 to 2 people, your income has to be under $87,360, and if it's greater than 3 people, your income goes up to $101,920. The way the grant is implemented is as a 5-year forgivable zero-interest loan. So you have to occupy the property for 5 years as your primary residence, and then the 100% of the grant would be forgiven, so you never pay the money back. And that money goes towards your down payment, which, of course, is going to save you anywhere from $50 to $60 a month in your monthly payment when you're initially qualifying to buy the house.
Folks, Steve Tetzner, Homestar Mortgage, again, he was named Lender of the Year, has originated over $1 billion in mortgages during his 20 years at Homestar, offices in Providence and Wakefield, Homestar Mortgage. Call him today, 447-4367, to find out more, 447-4367.
He tells it like it is. He's John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
And we're back on this sunny Tuesday. My goodness, is that what that is out there? It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. White House under attack, without question. Leah's calling from Cranston on the John DePietro Show. Hello, Leah. Leah in Cranston. Hold on. Let me try it again. All right. Is that you, Leah? I'm not sure what happened. All right. Well, folks, we have another big hour to go, and then there is a WADK continues the tradition of baseball. So there will be a game today at 4 o'clock, so another big hour to go on the program, and we will bring you up to speed. I mean, the Trump White House, they are right now fighting this Washington Post story. That's what it comes down to. It's no matter what our military is saying. Do you think that's what it is, really? No matter what our military is saying, that it doesn't seem to matter because the Washington Post is quoting anonymous sources, and that trumps, so to speak, anyone that we put forward, no matter who it is, that then says that that's not the way it happened and that's not the way it went down. So we'll take more calls on that. And then also a big announcement with the Paw Sox regarding the name of their new stadium now, the ballpark at Slater Mill. So they're all in on Pawtucket, and it looks like the state is going to be on the hook for $35 million. The team is going to put up $40 million. But the good news is it's going to be revenue neutral. So they love that term. We'll take your phone calls at 846-1028. You can email me, john@depietro.com. Follow me on Facebook. Are you on Facebook? Good. Me too. It's John DePietro Show on Facebook. Click the like button. And then remember, the show never ends on Twitter. It's John DePietro Show on Twitter. Another big hour to go. We'll come back. We'll take more of your phone calls at 846-1028.